Hello, friends. Welcome to Think Jesus Cafe. This is your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Today, we'll continue in our study of the New Testament letter of 1 John, and once again, we'll think deeply about verse 9 of chapter 3. So I'll begin today by reading 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. Okay, last time we thought about John's statement that God's seed abides in the born-again believer. Today we want to continue thinking about that fact, the fact that God's seed abides in the true believer. Now, let's think about this. John emphatically states that no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. If we reverse the order of that verse, we could say something like this. Since God's seed abides in the heart of the truly born-again believer, that person cannot make a practice of continually sinning. Of course, this paraphrase fits naturally with what the Apostle John had written in verse 8, when he said that the Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. And in that Daily 10 episode, we came to recognize that Jesus, the Son of God, came to destroy sinning. Okay, friends, if we pause a little and let this truth sink in our minds, this concept, this truth, this reality will be incredibly helpful in our practice of daily living. Let me explain. John says that Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. In other words, Christ came to destroy sinning. And then John says that the true Christian cannot habitually keep on sinning because God's seed abides in that individual. Now, we all know people who have had or are having an extremely difficult time with sin. In fact, we ourselves, all of us, have battled with sin one way or another at some time in our life. That's a common human experience. Now, could it be that God makes himself available to break those chains? One of our problems as human beings is that we don't want to admit that sin has any kind of dominating presence in our life. We want to be the master of our own life. But if we're honest, we all know that various sins do, in fact, have a controlling influence on our life. The sinful influences may differ from one person to another, but the fact remains that the controlling influence of sin is a common experience among all human beings. The problem is that we don't even want to admit that sin has any presence in our life, let alone a dominating influence. So we live in denial. We live in denial of the sin problem. The Bible clearly identifies the problem of sin in our life, and we prefer to deny it. We may acknowledge, theoretically, that we have a sin problem. We may acknowledge, theoretically, that we need God's forgiveness of our sin. But as far as our specific, everyday, daily actions, our words, our thoughts, our behaviors, we do not want to admit that any of those actions could possibly be sin. Again, what we're talking about here is sin as God defines it in the Bible, not sin as defined by another human being or a group of people. Of course, not every word, not every thought, not every action is sin, but plenty of them are sinful. What I'm saying is that Christ came to break us free from sinful words, from sinful thoughts, and from sinful actions. And that experience of breaking free is a reality because of the indwelling seed of God that resides in the heart of the truly born-again child of God. The inner working of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit result in a powerful influence in the life of the believer. So powerful, in fact, that deliverance from ungodliness is a very real possibility. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be liberating? Wouldn't it be freeing to experience release from the bondage of habitual sin? Wouldn't it be a liberating experience to be set free from whatever habit, hang-up, or hurt that imprisons us? Well, let's listen to what the Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Peter writes this, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Now, did you catch that? The Apostle Peter says that God has granted to believers all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now that's powerful. We all know that habitual sin is ungodly, but Peter says that God has given us everything we need to cast off habitual ungodliness so that we can now live in the righteous life that God desires for us. Okay, put that together with what the Apostle John said. John said, "No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him." My friend, simply put, the way to break free from habitual sin, habitual ungodliness, is only through Jesus Christ. It's only through Jesus that the seed of God comes to dwell in a human being. And it's only through Jesus that an individual experiences the internal power of God to break the chains of habitual sin. Okay, now here's the thing. We human beings, generally speaking, do not like to admit that any of our habits, any of our hang-ups, any of our reactions or our attitudes or our lifestyles, we don't like to admit that any of that is sin. We human beings just do not like the idea that our words, attitudes, and actions could be sinful. Perhaps they're sinful in the lives of other people, but not in our own lives. Again, as I say, we live in functional denial of our own sin. Consequently, we will not confess that sin to God because, well, you know, in our mind, we're not really sinning. So we have nothing to confess to God. We refuse to acknowledge our own sin. Therefore, we don't confess it to God, which results in our missing out on God's cleansing and God's deliverance. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, the Apostle John wrote this, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Now, too often we think of these verses in theoretical terms, not in actual, concrete, and specific terms. Claiming that we have not sinned makes God a liar. Again, I'm not talking about generalities. I'm talking about specifics. Refusing to confess that our specific thoughts and actions are sin takes us out of the realm of God's transforming work of forgiveness and cleansing. And, by the way, the word confess, biblically, means to be in agreement with God about something. Confession is more than a mere admission of guilt. It's an agreement with God about the wretchedness of our own sin. Okay, I think you get the idea. As long as we deny sin in our own life, we'll continue to live in the chains of that sin. We will seek relief for sure. We'll probably consult all kinds of people and resources to get some relief from the dominance and consequences of our habitual sin. But perhaps, just perhaps, the answer is right in front of our eyes. Now, here's the problem. In the 21st century, it's all too convenient to give excuses for sin. And we can find all kinds of people to affirm us in our excuses for sin. We like to call sin dysfunction these days. We identify the dysfunction, we label it, we make excuses for it, then we try to come up with all manner of exotic ways to cover up the dysfunction. Now, I don't know specifically what's going on in your life, but perhaps, just perhaps, the giant in your life is rising up out of your own sin problem. The Apostle John says, "No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God." Look, people who struggle with habitual sin have a wonderful opportunity in front of them, and the opportunity is this: truly confess, truly repent, truly cling to Christ in faith, truly feed on the Word of God, the Bible, and then let the seed of God do its work. And this, my friends, is freedom. Freedom is experienced when our heart is captured by the indwelling seed of God. Let's ask ourselves some questions. Where does sin have its dominating influence in our life? Can we be that vulnerable with ourselves? Friend, if sin did, in fact, have a ruling influence in your life, could you admit it? Would you recognize it for what it is? And would you want to do anything about it? We all must ask ourselves these kinds of questions. This is part of the journey towards forgiveness, deliverance, and freedom. Now, here's the beautiful thing. John says, "No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he's been born of God." Of course, on the one hand, this statement helps us identify true and false claims of faith. But also, it's so encouraging to know that because of God's indwelling seed, we're no longer chained to a lifestyle of practicing sinning. God's seed, the Word of God, together with the Holy Spirit of God, together with our new inner orientation towards God, all three together, are dynamically working together to take us out of the ungodliness of sin and into a greater likeness of Jesus Christ Himself. The seed of God is working dynamically to take us out of ungodliness and into the righteousness that pleases and delights God. Now, one last thing. In this sanctifying work of God, wherein the seed of God does an inner work to transform us, in that work, we must be participants. We must be a part of what God is doing. We must engage with God in His Word. We must engage with God in prayer. We must engage with God through God's people. We must get active in promoting the things of God and the kingdom of God. We need to engage, and the seed of God will break the chains of habitual sin and set us free to actively enjoy our new life in Christ. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10. Join us again next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.